Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Pasha, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in the Family Karma Retreat. Welcome, Pasha.
Pasha.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
I'm here. Good. Yay. It worked.
I love that perseverance of practice. Yeah.
Can you hear me well?
So I don't know. What's that?
Can you hear me well?
We can hear you very well.
Great.
Very well. Yeah, perfect. So I don't know if you heard the introduction, but I was just saying, as you know, that you are here with us this afternoon to talk about your experience of participating in the Family Karma Retreat. So thanks for being with us for that.
In which retreat?
The retreat that we just completed at over the New Year's, the Family Karma Retreat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that because those of us who were participating in the retreat, this was actually one of my favorite parts about it, is that we were all just going to the New Year's retreat, right? We're going to the New Year's retreat. And then to be delivered this incredible curriculum that we only really found in the middle of it, what we were up to, was pretty extraordinary.
Yes, that's why I love practice. You find unexpected, beautiful things that ego is not prepared for, and then you're in the middle of.
Yes, exactly. So we promise not to spoil any of particulars because we don't want to. We want to let everyone else have the same experience we got to have of getting to have the firsthand experience. But because we have that retreat coming up soon in North Carolina, we wanted to give folks a sense of kind of the power of it and what's in store for folks who might be considering signing up. So if you were to speak to that, Pasha, kind of your sense of what you really walked away with from this retreat, how would you describe that?
Well, it would be very hard to do. For me, it was a life-changing event. I was going to the regular New Year retreat, and as I said, then I find out myself in the middle of doing this walk where I have the insights, and suddenly I start to see kind of a big picture of my life, what happened, how it came. It was so big that I was amazed. I'm walking, making those recordings, and I just can't believe myself to what I see, and I was, this wasn't my first time to go to a New Year retreat, and that was totally unexpected, and I have a recorder, bursting of recordings that I'm trying to capture to capture this insight, and because even at the time when it was happening, I already felt the sense that this is bigger than I'll be able to remember. This will take me some time to soak in. So.
What a good point. So let me reflect back because there were so many important pieces in what you said. So the curriculum of this retreat really taking you back through not so much the content of what happened, although those were certainly, the language I always use for it is those were certainly portals to it, but to look at the karma that I walk around with on a day-to-day basis, moment-by-moment basis, it all happened, right? It all in the sense of there are building blocks that got put in place through all of these different avenues when I was very, very young, and that this retreat walked us through that process, which really started to give us access to putting pieces together, the insights of, no wonder, and that piece and that piece, and then opening all of these doors to the possibilities of the freedom from all of that that creates, and how you realize in the middle of it, God, this is big. Like, there's just no way that I'm going to actually be able to take this all in at once, but a sense that it's in there now and that it's just going to take time to soak in and that you're changed from it, completely life-changing.
Yes, and even to this day, and it's been, 2 months, what I walk out of that retreat was one seemingly small change of behavior.
Mm.
And I'm celebrating the 60 days of sustaining that new behavior that I walked out of, from that retreat. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. It's really tangible for me. It's not just insights and recordings, but also it's living in me. And sometimes I feel like, well, this is so unusual that I don't feel like myself, because egocentric coming conditioning is not yet adopted to this new behavior. It doesn't have all the stories to put around. This is me. This is like a new me, or whatever.
Yeah.
But so it feels very unusual for ego to find itself in a new new behavior.
Yeah, and so helpful for us, because it's not adapted to it yet, and there's so much room for us to see things in those periods of time. I love what you just said, and it gave me such a great image for the retreat. I don't feel like myself. And what I saw is that what we did, what the curriculum of that retreat does, is it takes myself from somewhere like behind my eyes, where it's just me and just how I'm seeing, and it put myself out in front of me, in the center of the room, if you will, where now I'm starting to look at it. Do you remember the first, 24, 48, 36 hours of the retreat? There was a lot of just kind of wiggling around and, oh, my gosh, and, we're all just kind of, wow, this huge disorientation that was so delightful in terms of turning the tables on actually looking at what controls us instead of looking through it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought, so I guess this was not only me going through that experience.
No.
But, so it's what it allowed me to see that the things that are so accustomed and so built in into me that I walk around and don't notice. But when we have this framework to look at that and step out of that, then I see kind of, no wonder what that happened to me or to, I guess it will happen to any human being who would be in that place of that karma that I had to go through.
Yes, so, exactly.
So it becomes less personal, and the same time, it's not like, wow, that's poor me and that's what happened to me. It's like, wow, now I have opportunity to take that human who lived through that and give him freedom and make a next step and take him out of there. I don't have to go and continue the same grooves and the same behaviors, and I've seen where they lead to.
Yes, exactly. It engenders so much compassion and fosters so much clarity. And actually, Pasha, even in this conversation, I'm seeing new things about it where, I mean, I feel like my practice has really gone to the next level in the last, now I would say, 8 weeks, post that retreat where those seeds were planted of just really getting on the side of shaking things up and wanting to get to see all of that, those mechanisms of control that were put in place so far back, and get to have the fun and the enthusiasm of instead really looking at them instead of being controlled by them. So, yeah, it just, there's so much possibility in it.
Yes, and what also dropped in, when was it, somebody was asking, or was it, somebody was asking what is karma, or like, I think it was a joke about a note written to a guest master, which is like impossible to answer on a, like on a little piece of paper. But
right.
For me, on this retreat, I think it was like, wow, I clearly saw what is karma.
Yeah.
It's not something I can describe, but
exactly.
It was on example of my life, you know, how it happened from, you know, what happened to my parents and what happened to them from their parents to what it tries to go after. You know, after we, end walking this life. So that, to see that, to me, the image comes as a snake that goes and through this, terrain. It continues and it tries to go. I saw that in such a clear image. That was very amazing to see, but also it's such a personal thing that I see. I have instruments and tools to work with that now, and I continue to do that. And it was the first year when, I have this new behavior, and despite it, I return to regular life, and it's the same environment.
Yeah.
But I'm not the same. I'm not doing the same thing in this environment. So that's very new and refreshing.
Yeah, so powerful, so powerful. And I know we do need to turn it over to Michael and Sherry, but just one last connection I wanted to make that you are saying, Pasha, is I feel like as we've set out on the year-long retreat in this week, one of the things Sherry and Ashwini are really encouraging each of us towards as we set out on that journey is the particulars matter, not because they're personal, and as you say, it's for me, and this is my story, but the particulars for each of us of how the suffering was put in place and how it plays out now are important in the sense that that's the place that we can, again, I use that image of the portal, that we can walk through towards the transformation. And I think this retreat in particular really, really nailed it in terms of walking each of us through the particulars, and then as a group, we're walking through the impersonal process of that. So
yes, and speaking of a group, I'm so excited to continue with this year-long retreat, and now we are together in it. I'm deeply grateful for all
practice
tools and opportunities. Thank you.
Me too. Makes me want to jump on and get a plane ticket to North Carolina. All right, Pasha. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. That was very fun. Thanks for hanging
in there
with your technology. Okay. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Pasha. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Sherry. How are you?
Happy to be here. Just a grinning. That was so fun. Those two made a lot of really good points, didn't they?
Yes. Fabulous. Fabulous. And the week is starting off with a bang. With the year-long retreat and this good news, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gosh, that retreat in North Carolina is just coming right up on the next bucket, as they say. It's right around the corner.
Yes. 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 Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I have announcements, unless there's something else you want to.
No, no. I'm actually just thinking about kind of replaying on somewhere in my head what Pasha said about being in the same circumstances and being a different person, not being the same in the same circumstance. That level of seeing the transformation in action played out on a daily basis in our lives. Oh, that's so big.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's coming up?
I was just going to say, there's a famous quote along those lines of coming back to the same place at a later time and being a different person.
Yeah, yeah. As if for the first time or something like that.
Yeah. That's the one.
Being so different that that place is completely different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And here are our announcements. Bring conscious, compassionate awareness to your Saturday tasks or any project you choose at an at-home working meditation retreat on March 23rd. The day includes exercises, facilitated virtual discussions, mindful eating, and designated work periods. Yeah, we haven't done those in a couple of years, so that's fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of years. And I just remember how much fun they were. It's really great. It's kind of the best of all worlds. You get to be a monk for most people. I mean, some people are going to be monks in their own monastery, but for most people, it's like being a monk in your own house, your own home.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Yeah.
And you, Sherry, are offering a workshop at Center in the Bay Area on March 31st from 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
to 12:30 p.m. This opportunity to join the guide is a powerful way to support practice, to experience being in this here now, and to receive the benefits of Sangha's wisdom, love, and compassion. Space is limited, so sign up right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the family karma retreat we just heard about with you and Ashwini will help participants see how the story of me was created as karma and conditioning collided in family and how this notion of self unconsciously operates. The retreat, April 15th through 20th in North Carolina, includes yoga, meditation, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Yeah. And cardinals.
And cardinals. Cardinals in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. The new quarter begins April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, May 4th through 11th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week. And for these and other opportunities, including new group coaching and recording and listening classes, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders, conversation today on one topic of about 5 minutes in length is great. And if you'd like to get in the queue for that conversation, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show. Okay, I think we are ready, Sherry.
All right, let's go.
Okay, first caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi there. This is Todd. I'm calling from Olympia, Washington.
Hello,
hi, Todd.
Hi. Oh, my gosh, it's so great to get on. So great to talk to Sherry and Michael. Hey, Sherry, I was looking for a little guidance here. I've read you for years, and I just came out of a 14-year relationship in the first of the year, and so I just, something dropped in, and I'm full-on in. I've signed for the year-long retreat. I'm making plans to come in August for the Nothing Wrong With You. I'm meditating every day. And of course, with that brings up all this story about, I want to be a good student. I want Sherry to like me. All that stuff. It's just, it's ridiculous, the story I had waiting to, I don't think I heard anything of the guy said before because I was so caught up in my head, right? Like, that's just how it goes for me. But
well, Todd, really, that's how it goes for all of us. So yeah, you've come to the right place.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. You know, I wanted to ask just kind of for your guidance about, I'm working, and I think one of the main things that's kept me away from practice so long is just this real core primary addiction that I have. And it's one of those addictions that it's hard just to, like, totally shut it off, right? It's just kind of part of who I am as a human. And I've been sober, you know, for 28 years. But it just, you know, it just carries so much guilt, so much shame. You know, I have so much trauma in my life, you know, seriously suicidal just, you know, gosh, 6-9 months ago. And the story is just doing a number on me, especially as I start this, you know, trying to pick what I was going to work on for I'm making a change for good, because it's almost like, you know, I'm hearing people talking about what they want to do, and for me it's like what something I don't want to do anymore, and so I was just, you know, hoping to just kind of get some thoughts from you. I get on that polarity swing where I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm doing everything great and everything's awesome, and then I, you know, kind of fall back into it, and then I'm on the other side, and it's just guilt and shame, and then I just get, sorry, I'll stop.
I know the answer. I'm very excited. I know the answer here. Okay, and not that what I'm going to say is easy, and I don't think that it's easy. Okay, I mean, we can talk about it in a few short sentences, but that doesn't mean it's easy. But the first thing that I would ask you to do is to see what you want, not what you don't want. So if I'm a heroin addict, then I don't want to do that anymore, right? It's taken my life, and it's going to probably eventually kill me, and I don't want to do that anymore. But if I focus on what I don't want to do, then that's really what I'm affirming. I'm affirming negativity.
Yeah.
But what do I want? Well, I want to be free. I want to be healthy. I want to make my own choices. I don't want to listen to those voices any longer. I want to hear what is true instead of the lies that keep going on inside my head. And so that would be the first thing. And then the second thing is even harder than that. And that is, you have to stop the guilt. You have to. You just have to. And when we're in the grip of those kinds of voices, all of that hatefulness, and it's just nasty, isn't it? I mean, you would never say to any other human being, even somebody you didn't like, I bet you would not say to them the kinds of things that are said to you inside your head. And so it seems like that's so powerful. You know, what can you do? You really want it to stop, but it won't stop. And the more you want it to stop, the worse it gets. And we have that powerless feeling. Like, Yeah. It's got everything, I got nothing. But it's not true. It what is required, though, is a level of determination that you're going to have to put everything you've got into as often and as much as you can. And when you don't, when you get distracted, when you get, you know, tired or in a weakened condition or whatever is going on, and it happens again, they come at you and they brutalize you again. Instead of listening to any voices beat you up, make you feel bad for that, you just say, that happened. Moving on.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's really going to be your full-time job for a while, is just choosing what you want to listen to, what you want to focus on, instead of letting your attention be captured by that hatefulness.
Wow, yeah, that just kind of confirms, because you know that question, you know, what I want to work on with the issue. I mean it was just cathartic. I mean, I was in tears in my recording and listening. I was just bawling, and I just you know, I'm relentless in my pursuit, and I want to keep working on my stuff. And I know there's such a need for a different story in my head, and I'm tired of beating myself over and over. So it's like, I really feel like for the first time, like I'm at a place where I got enough ammunition to go at self-hate, to go at that ego, to go at that carnivorous, mm-hmm. to not be hoodwinked and bamboozled and mm-hmm.
As often.
And so
As often.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
we're not going for perfection here, because we will get bamboozled, right? We
yes.
will. That's just how it is. And that's not defeat. That all that means is what we're doing is really, really hard. That's all.
And so then just one last, like, so when that stupid dust comes, and I just almost go like, what am I doing? It just seems like it has the ability just to stupid dust me to death. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that
I think is most helpful, because you have a recording and listening practice, make the recordings that you're going to listen to under specific circumstances or in specific circumstances or whatever. I'm not good with prepositions, but when the stupid dust hits, you know what you hear. You just said when you realize you're in that place, you kind of stand in the middle of the room going, pick up the recorder and listen to the recording that talks to you about stupid dust.
Yeah.
And then tells you, this is what you're doing, and this is why you're doing it. This is what's important about it. This is what you want to focus on. This is who you're saving. This is the guy that you're going to save from this suffering. Okay? And for each one of whatever it commonly comes at you with, make one of those recordings. So that if it's, you know, if it's in a, oh, for God's sake, just give up. What difference does it make? You're never going to, okay, there's one. And you have a recording for that, right?
Yeah.
So that you're not conditioning gets us because it throws something at us and we're thrown off. But if we have a go-to, then it can't do that to us in the same way.
Yeah, that. I have that app, which is just awesome because you know you can do the categories and that. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely perfect. So
good.
Okay,
Two other things.
Yeah,
one, you're going to do a There's Nothing Wrong with You retreat, right?
Yeah, I got to wait until August because of work, but yeah.
Okay, and in the meantime, and probably you know about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you're doing this work with a grown man, that's one thing. But if you stop and think about this person who's receiving these beatings as somebody who's very young and vulnerable, then mm-hmm. that can sometimes inspire us to get between that hatefulness and this person who's being abused. You know, if it's for a grown man, we get a lot of the, oh, come on, you know, what are you whining about? What, just man yeah. up or what, you know, that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
But if you realize, no, this is actually a little person because he's been experiencing this kind of hatefulness for longer than you can remember.
Yeah.
And so to have that picture of the innocence of the human being that you're in the process of saving, it can sometimes give us a little extra willingness to go up against that viciousness.
Yeah. Wow, and that, yeah. and that's beyond beautiful. I just happened to pull out I got a picture of me at maybe 7, 8. I got a picture of me at 22, and it's framed in my. And you're right. It's so much easier when I see myself as that innocent little boy. You know.
Yes. Yes.
You're right. It is so much more easy, but at the same time, it's hard. Like you said, it's a fight of my life, right? But
right.
That's
exactly.
Where I'm at, so.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's worth it. That's the point. That's the only point. And that's why we never let it be a contest, and it's why we don't quit. Is it hard? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it gut-wrenching? Yes. Okay. Will we be 100% successful? No. Do we know when we're going to get to the other side of this? No. No idea.
No.
But it's worth yeah. it. And so we're going to give yeah. it everything we've got for as long as we're here.
Wow, yeah, it's high noon time, right?
High noon, that's it.
Yeah.
High noon. All
high
right.
High noon. All right,
so
Sherry,
take good
I'm
care of
yourself, grateful.
Huh?
Yeah,
all
thank
right.
you so much. Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. Sherry, that was a very powerful conversation for me, and especially that part at the end there where you were talking about the person who we are saving. It's really
yeah.
important, that young child.
Yeah, yeah. We would just never allow a child to be treated the way we can get talked into giving up and letting ourselves be treated. And, of course, the one who says, oh, you know, it's not that big a deal or, oh, it's too hard or whatever it is not that innocence. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep yeah. getting past that and really in touch with if that innocence weren't there, we wouldn't be suffering so.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Wow.
Mm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello, Catherine.
It's Catherine.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. First, real quickly, I'll just say the family karma retreat was amazing. New Year's retreat, when the family karma workshop, I missed the first day and a half, and I still found it transformational. So,
oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. You spent, what, like 34 hours or something like that in the airport, in an airport or airports, trying to get
yeah.
to the retreat?
Right.
Yeah. And you still
yeah.
liked it.
Oh, I loved it, and I'm going to repeat it. So I'm going to go.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be North Carolina. It probably will be Pennsylvania, but I'm definitely going to do it again. So it was a great retreat.
And you're going to start at the beginning this time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there on time.
Good.
I'm looking at. The addiction I have to reading the news. So I read the news. I read on my laptop. I read websites, newspaper websites. And
mm-hmm.
I start suffering. I know it's conditioning. I know it's conditioning. There's judgment. There's anguish, there's hatred, there's how is this happening, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and these people are wrong, and it's and if it's not if it's not just misery, it's still there's still this way I can really it can really lead me into depression. And yeah, and so I'm looking at what I would like. What I would want is to stay informed without that experience. And I've been looking at who, how much do I need to know? And who is it that wants to know all this? You know, so. Yeah, so.
Okay, all right. Well, is this a good juncture?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So so two things. One, I really enjoy history. And I read a lot of history. And one of the reasons that I do that is to remind myself that nothing has changed. You can pick any part of the world at any time that we have information about what was going on in that part of the world at whatever time in history, and nothing is any different than it is now. It's obviously the languages are different, and you know people are using either crossbows and battering rams or throwing rocks at each other or whatever it is, but the dynamics that humans bring to the situation has not changed. Okay? There have always been people. Now, remember, 2,500 years ago, the Buddha identified this as greed, hate, and delusion. That's what this is doing, revolving around. So greed, hate, and delusion. And he put greed first. Right? Because hate and delusion follow so nicely behind greed. And so greed has always been making the world go round. And there have always been incredibly greedy, hateful, vicious, horrible human beings. And there have always been people who were bringing loving kindness and care and hope and ideals and all of those kinds, always. So for us to think it should be any different now, to me, is just kind of silly. And so I really like to know what's going on. I bet most people would be shocked at how informed I am about what goes on in the world currently. They would wonder why I wasn't spending more time in meditation. And I like to stay informed because it reminds me how important it is not to go unconscious. Because it's unconsciousness that fuels the greed, hate, and delusion. No, you go ahead. I'll remember.
Well, I was it was also dropping in that finding those kind people and being hanging out with them.
There you go.
The organizations who are wanting to change, but in a compassionate way, not.
That's right.
Not resisting.
So one of my favorite. One of my favorite groups are the Quakers, American Friends. And so I get information, you know, I support them and I get information from them, Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, depending on what your politics are, the ACLU. You know, there are a lot of people who are attempting to make a difference, not from hatred and revenge and that sort of thing, but from this is how I would like the world to be, and I'm going to devote myself to helping the world be that way. If it's not, well, that's not my fault. What I'm doing is this. which was the thing I was going to suggest to you. So at one point I was working with somebody who felt intense guilt. It was a she, every time she bought anything. I mean, she was just so paralyzed by guilt that she could barely allow herself to have anything. And we're not talking, you know, wasteful nonsense, but actual things that a person needs to get by in the world. So my suggestion to her was, well, every time you buy something for yourself, buy something for somebody else. Buy two of them. Give one to somebody who doesn't have that, and you have one for yourself. Okay? And so with the same kind of process, every time you read about something that is upsetting to you, take some act to make a difference. It doesn't have to be directly that thing, but just kind of a counterbalance. Okay, so if there's one piece of hatefulness there, offer one act of kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
And if the voices are still after you, do two. Do three, right? Until by the time you finish, you can see that being informed about those kinds of things really keeps you focused on, it's important for me to cast my vote here for the world that I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just let other people be the ones who make the decisions and choices, because that makes me a victim. I don't want to be a victim. I might not win in that sense, but that's not the point. I'm participating. I'm doing the best. I'm doing everything I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as in with the prior conversation, that we'll focus on what we do want. So
yes.
If I focus on contribution and participation and compassion, then, well, first, that's the life I'm going to have. Sounds good
that's
to
right.
me. And,
that's
and
right.
I'm not focused on the greed, hate, delusion, making the world
that's
go
right.
around.
That's right. All you do is stay informed because you want to be informed. You know, people who say, oh, you know, the news is just too upsetting. I just can't. Well, okay, but where does that leave us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always go to this place of, you know, it's just too upsetting for me, so I'll just let those other people just live in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just too upsetting to me to know that kind of thing is going on. Well, it is upsetting, and so what can I do to turn that around? What can I do as an alternative to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's very helpful, Sherry. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
Yeah, very inspiring.
Well, good.
I'll be
thank
back
you.
Back.
All right, good. Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. And Sherry, too, I, too, was inspired by the idea of focusing on what I want rather than trying to get rid of what I don't want. Seems a much more fruitful, productive direction.
Yeah, because affirming a negative is just really not something we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't want to put our energy into no or into not. We really do want to put everything we've got into the yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Build compassionate discipline into your life with Zen Awareness Coaching. Weekly calls and email check-ins provide support and accountability for waking up and ending suffering. Coaching assists us to recognize conditioned patterns, and direct attention to what we want for our lives instead. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Get a Zen Awareness Coach and choose to make a change for good for your practice and your life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Carol calling from Sacramento.
Hello, Carol.
Hi. Hey, you talked about a phrase before. It says you can't step in the same river twice. Is another way of phrasing that you were talking about before.
Uh-huh.
Remember? Yeah. Okay, so the question that I have to ask is about how to listen to the mentor conversation. I especially record in the morning, and then I save it, and I save it with the date and a title that gives me a little clue, you know, like Christmas dinner or my new haircut or whatever it was, and I can get back to that if I especially want to. So I'm noticing that it's kind of a problem to try to listen to it when I have to read something or I have to talk to somebody or I have to do some task out in the garage and then back in the kitchen again. You know, how do you manage to listen with all the distractions of daily life?
Do you not have earbuds?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But still I get distracted by the conversations or reading or something else. Do you just let it go in the background? It just goes and goes and stop it?
No. I don't listen to recordings if I'm doing something, like if I have to read something.
Uh-huh.
Now, the only time I encourage people to do something like that is if they're in a really difficult situation where they get upset. We had a monk years ago who would have these really upsetting conversations with her parents periodically. Mm-hmm. And so I encouraged her to make a recording that just basically said the equivalent of, it's okay, it's all right, it's fine, just keep breathing.
Uh-huh.
Just keep breathing. And she would just put that in one ear while she talked to her parents with the other ear.
Okay, got it.
And so it just kind of soothes the nervous system in those kinds of circumstances. Now, if I'm not doing something like that, on Sunday I spent the afternoon cleaning my house, and I just have the recorder in my pocket,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just listening as I go around, and for me it's a really helpful part of practice, because here's how that goes. Attention can only be on one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can learn to do is focus attention on awareness. Awareness is registering everything. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It could be argued that awareness is everything, but just the way we're talking about it, it's registering everything. So attention is on awareness, and it's possible to be aware of what is happening with the recording as well as the floors or the dishes or the laundry or whatever else. And in that way, to me, it hugely minimizes distraction.
Uh-huh.
Because if I'm just going around and I'm not listening to recordings, then attention is just free to wander off with conditioned mind and
do whatever. Which it does.
It still can, right? There's nothing about recordings that prevents that, but it makes it easier for us to learn to be present in that expanded awareness.
Got it. And do you listen to what you just recorded immediately after you record it?
I often do. I often do simply because it's a different process to say it and to hear it.
Yeah. And then do you listen, like, to what you recorded last week and the week before, or do you go back a year, or you just go random to shuffle, you know, listen to anything?
All of the above.
Okay.
I went through a period not that long ago where I was listening to recordings from 5 years ago, and I listened to the whole year.
Wow.
Now, I'm recording daily, but I'm recording about what's happening now and about insights from those recordings from 5 years ago.
Oh. And did you save them after you listened to them from 5 years ago so you could listen to them at the 10-year point, or do you delete some of them?
No. No, I don't delete them. I've lost recordings, right, with technological failures, but I've never deleted them.
Not the bad ones.
Just because. No. I think I just find them all interesting and helpful. You know, they're just insights. It's like, you know, I don't know if anybody else wonders these things, but, you know, I'll often be just kind of around people and think, God, I wish I could just be inside their head, you know, for even a minute, just a minute. I'd like to be in there longer, but, you know, just to see what it's like to be inside a human head. And recordings kind of do that for us, right? We get to step back and see how a human being operates.
Right, in different circumstances over time.
Yeah.
I notice that I get very frustrated because I have so many recordings on the same EKC topic, which is too much to do. And I think, oh, no, not that again. I'm trying to listen to yet another recording of Too Much to Do.
Uh-huh. And so we just started the year-long retreat. I don't know if you know that. But that's very much what this year is going to be about. About not just staying stuck in a situation like that where too much to do is just a constant. It's just a constant refrain. Nothing ever happens with it. I just kind of feel bad about it. I make plans and programs and commitments, and then I don't keep them, and it just keeps going around and around. And what we're going to focus on this year is getting out of that loop and really delving down into how is that happening? How is too much to do happening? It's not a given. It's a process. And how is that process happening, and how is it being maintained?
Wow. Is it too late to join?
No. I don't know. Carol, I honestly don't know who to contact, but I'm sure if you just go to Living Compassion, maybe Michael knows, or Ashwini's probably listening, and she can text us if there's time before the show's over. But I'm sure if you just go to Living Compassion, it's on there, and you can still sign up.
All right. Thank you for the perfect moment of advice.
Well, you are so welcome. And as we go along, you know, it's a call-in radio show, so you know, let me call and let me know how it's going.
All right, I will. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you. Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. And Sherry, that does seem like the critical issue in our modern lives of too much to do and how that happens.
Yeah. And is it true? You know, that's kind of the burning question underneath that, right? Is that actually true?
Yeah.
Or are we in some sort of mass hypnosis? do you know? Because of what we were just talking about. Because nobody knows how that happens. It happens.
Right.
Everybody says it. Everybody does it. Everybody believes it. But how really? What's behind that? How is that the case?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got it from Ashwini. Send an email to information@livingcompassion.org, and we'll send a registration link.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so Carol can.
How groovy is that?
China.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And we have time for at least one more caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Jessica from Boston.
Hi, Jessica.
Well, hello.
It's been a long time. Good to be on with you, Sherry and Michael. Thank you.
Well, you are so welcome. What's going on?
Well, I've been doing a lot of interpersonal exploration and as well as work professionally around undoing racism. Small topic.
Oh,
and
is that all?
Not all. Okay, just use those few little things. And so I feel like it's been lifelong work, practice, awareness for me, and I, a few weeks ago, went to a really powerful workshop called Undoing Racism, put on by the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond, and just had continue to have really profound learnings and awareness and dropping in, and I guess a lot of is that so sort of moments. And I just, I'm like, I gotta call in, talk through some of it. And so I guess at this, it's most simplest in terms of like how I feel like I get tangled up in it a little bit. It's, you know, there's this system of racism that has been constructed in the history of the United States, and a want to get rid of it. So the previous conversations have also been really interesting around like what do we want rather than focusing on what we want to get rid of. And I think that's one of the things that I get tangled up with in particular with racism is an awareness like by continuing to talk about white versus black, we're like maintaining these constructs that were created, and also like, but how do we undo it if we don't acknowledge and admit the systems that's there, which in the United States we haven't admitted. And so for me personally, it's like I bring a lot of attention and awareness and practice of, you know, how do I love myself? How do I undo the patterns of, you know, constantly doing and not connecting with people, and how do I actually choose to love and connect with myself and with other people around me? And so just how does it all tie in? I'll just pause there because there's so much going on in my mind about it. But
And so
are you following me or are you tracking?
Yeah, I think so. Well, heck, I don't know. But we'll find out.
We'll find out.
So did you hear, were you with us when I was talking with somebody earlier about nothing has changed?
Yes. It was one of those moments where I was like, totally. It was one of those moments where I was like, oh, if I don't get on the call, I'm getting so many things that's about what I'm talking about. So it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've just finished reading a book about a fellow named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
No,
he's
quite
he's a Lutheran minister in Germany, born in the last part of the 1800s. So he came to manhood as Germany was starting to follow Hitler. Somebody told me about this, I think, on this very program, and said not to, you know, do a spoiler alert here. You know, he died. He was executed like 2 weeks before Hitler committed suicide. And he was just a wonderful, wonderful human being. And the struggle that he had was that he could see what was happening. He knew full well he was a Christian, so it didn't escape him that Jesus was a Jew. And so it was such a torment to him that people could not see, that people didn't realize the racism that existed in their lives, just completely under conscious awareness, as we would talk about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? And so in reading this book, I'm seeing, watching the parallels of what's happening in this country now. And looking at how human that is. Now, many people could look at Germany and say, how could that have happened? What were those people doing? What was going on with them? Why didn't they? And we can look at our own country now, and we can see
happening.
What's happening. And we could see it happening if we go back to, we go all the way back to the Civil War. We could see it happening there. We could see it happening at the birth of this nation and right? And I just read something recently that will not comfort you at all, but there are more slaves in the world today than there have been.
I read that too.
Yeah. And so, you know, just to kind of take a step back.
Yeah, put a little perspective, take the load off.
Yes, this is something we desperately want people to be aware of and want to address. And it is so deep and so broad and so old.
So old. Yeah, right. I mean, that's, I think, what one of the things that I feel like is in my awareness, probably largely through this practice, is that, these concepts aren't new. Like, there's a particular way that racism was created at the founding of the, and perpetuated over the founding of this country, but it's not that slavery didn't exist in many ways before that, and that there isn't all different kinds of races, right? Like, so there's an awareness
for as long as there've been people,
right? And it was helpful to hear you say that, like, the first thing Buddha named was greed. And so I guess at a personal practice, like, as I'm going about my world, like, the one thing I have some semblance of control over, you know, is obviously is my are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. I thought my headset beeped, and I thought, the one thing I have some semblance of control is like how I move about in the world. And so I think it's like that, what is the, I'm seeking your guidance, I guess, around, you know, I think about at work, and I've been having some conversations with some of my colleagues who are people of color, and, you know, how do we develop like a racial equity framework in the way we do the work that we do? And so there's a piece of like my own personal work and what I bring in my daily practice for myself, but also as I move about my organization, but also wanting to be intentional in our organization about how we address things, because often we're thinking of like, what are other people doing? And I'm always like, well, we got to practice what we preach. Like, we've got to practice it ourselves before we're telling other people what to do. And so I'm just curious about that dance, because there's also sometimes if we keep being like racism, 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 then we have racism, you know, like what kind of like to the first addiction call, like if we're just like in the negativity, we're kind of maintaining the negativity. So I'm just curious with something like racism,
Well, and Jessica, the thing that's fascinating to me as you lay that out is so we have the concept of racism, but we're not doing anything different in race than we're doing with one another all the time. So I am around you, well, not you, but say I'm around somebody, and unconsciously, because I'm not aware that it's a program in me, there's judgment of them. I'm not sensitive to them. I'm actually not sensitive to them because I don't like the way they talk, or I don't like the things they choose to do, or whatever it is. And because I'm white and they're white, you know, racism is certainly not a part of it, but everything else is. The lack of respect, the lack of interest, the lack of compassion. I don't see them as fully human, certainly, as I am. Do you know? I sometimes wonder if we were all immediately one color and one religion, what would we work on next?
Like, how would we separate ourselves then?
Yeah. There'd be something we'd come up with, I think.
Yeah.
Or that ego would come up with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the thing is, like, and then it's so the pressure is, like, in this case, there's, like, policies that have, like, harmed people and, the wealth gap. So then it's, like, but then you're easily caught up in things. So I guess sometimes it's just a reminder of, like, what is the smallest acts of kindness we can do in our, like, immediate sphere as a really profound way to end racism or any other thing we've got going on?
Because it's all the same thing we've got going on, isn't it? We're just trying to wake up and be as conscious as we can be with everyone and in everything we do, and not let it turn into something that self-hate uses against us.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Bet if you're insensitive to somebody, and God forbid that it's a person of color,
right?
You would be brutalized.
Yeah. Well, and what I've noticed a lot for me personally lately is that, like, and what became a really profound awareness after this retreat, there was this moment where they sort of walk you through and you arrive at this place of, like, well, and what really in some ways, like, all white people are racist because of the construct that we've created in this country, and so we all have to undo it. And there was this moment for me where that actually felt liberating, because so often the process of ego is othering and shaming those racists out there. And so it was moment of, like, oh, wait, like, we're actually in this together and we have to do this together. Yeah. It's not just, like, the racist thing. Like, I'm not racist because I do these, quote, good things. And they're the racist. You know, so there was this moment that was really profound of, like, oh, I'm a racist too. And now we're in this together so we can work on it. And that was just like, huh. You know, so I'm still unpacking, you know, that's still just, you know, washing over me. And
to be able to see that as an opportunity,
yeah.
Right? This is great. Yeah. This is great. I get to see how I'm a racist.
Yeah.
It literally felt
so liberating. Right. Never occurred to me that those other people are racist, not me. And then I would hate them. Like, ego would hate on them, which doesn't feel good. Then I get beat up for hating on people. And it's this vicious cycle. Whereas looking at it in myself, one, again, I have some semblance of ability to work on that. And then I get to be in solidarity with them in a way of, like, oh, now we can work on this together, rather than me shaming you over there and then shaming myself because I shamed you.
Right. One of my great moments in awareness practice was when I got it that I was so prejudiced against prejudiced people. And, I mean, just to step back from the, you know, the projections and go, well, the content may be different, but boy, is the process the same.
Process is the same. Yeah. Yeah, so it feels good to say that out loud. And I guess the other thing I'm gathering from all the conversations this year is this, as I sort of continue on this personally and then have conversations with my colleagues, is just to think about how do we, as we think about the ways we want to, as an organization, undo racism, is to focus on putting everything into the yes that we want rather than into the no that we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really great guidance as we do this.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's great to talk with you. And second, good luck.
Thank you. I'll keep you posted.
Yes, please, because talk about right here in our faces and something that we really want to see a big change in. For all of us.
All of us. Yeah. We're all held back by it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Jessica. Take good
thank
care
you so
yourself.
Much.
Stay warm. Okay.
Yes, thank you. Take good care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Gotcha.
Thank you for joining us, Jessica, and thank you, Sherry, for a fabulous show, quite profound, and part of a great
week. Thank you, Michael.
Week. all back together.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon,
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Sherry. Good night.
Good night.